everyone, and welcome to our special daily World 2020 qualifiers podcast. We're going to do a quick 5-minute take of matches each day, or as many days as we can possibly do. And joining today is my regular host on the podcast, Steve Nixon. Hey, Andrew.
Hi, Russ. How are you, buddy?
Andrew, it was the first day today, but let's start with the warm-ups. There was a few plays that a whole bunch were washed out, which bodes pretty badly for the tournament to come.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a worry over the weather in the UK isn't always good at this time of year. It's been nice today, but obviously the last few days it hasn't been too good, and it's a bit of a worry that they've not scheduled any reserve days during the group stage, that that could come back to bite them, and it would be really unfortunate if a team was to miss out on getting to the playoffs due to the weather.
Yeah, and also the mess that we're possibly going to get if we have a bunch of rain in the first game, given that the matches are supposed to finish by 5:30 each day, when really they could finish at 9:30 if they were kind of pushing it. So hopefully it's not too bad, but obviously at some point something can go.
Yeah, I think the decision to have the matches starting at the times they have done is a bit odd. As you're up in Scotland now, it stays it's light enough to play cricket at 9:30, even 10 o'clock at night almost. And some decisions of scheduling I think could come back to bite them, but hopefully not. Hopefully the weather will stay nice.
Just one last thing on that: the matches with Stirling, a bit of rain there, and potentially the ground is in a bit of a mess.
Yeah, from what I've been told, the ground at Stirling is actually built in the floodplain of a river, so when there's heavy rain, the cricket ground tends to get it really bad. And one of my colleagues from Cricket Europe went there at 9:30 a.m. yesterday, and the ground was basically underwater, and there was talk that it could take at least a week to recover. So whether there's a bit of common sense of approach taken there, and they move some of the games to grounds in Edinburgh that are available, I don't know, but hopefully something can, those matches can still be played even if not at Stirling.
Right, let's get to matches. Scotland versus the UAE, the hosts are up first, and we saw in the World Cup of the UAE batting is a little bit of a mess. Again, we saw that today, once Sean O'Malley was out with a score of 3 for 51 the 8th over, they basically fell away and only put on 109.
Yeah, I think The absence of Kurram Khan is well felt on that scorecard. Had Kurram Khan been in the innings, you could probably have helped hold an end together and score maybe 40-50 and get that score up towards 130-140 to be a bit more challenging. But even the way Scotland batted, that wouldn't have been enough. They knocked off the runs incredibly quickly, which will help the net run rate if there are rained off matches.
Mundy, 62 off 36 and Coots are 39 off 16. To win within 10 overs, that's going to be put in great stead.
Absolutely. And I watched the Munsey innings. He was quite superb. And he didn't really, he only hit 1-6. He wasn't slogging the ball out of the park. He was choosing his shots very carefully. So he was a very very composed innings, and he was well-deserved man of the match award.
Into the Netherlands versus Afghanistan match, it started off, it was pretty sloppy. A lot of sloppy fielding from the Netherlands and some sloppy shots from Mohammad Shahzad. Afghanistan were really struggling in this match right up until with about 20 balls to go, they were 106, which really the Netherlands were right on top, and this was their match to win at that point.
Yeah. So after about 10 overs, they'd only scored 50 odd, and they were looking well. And I think as recently as 5 or 6 years ago, Afghanistan would have completely folded from that point. It would have been an innings similar to that of the UAE that we saw from the UAE in the first game, and they would have been bowled out for less than 100 or 110, something like that. But those last five overs, they really sort of got back into it. Shinwari with an excellent 44, and then Nabi with 33, and then Najib Zadran 33 from 11 balls with 4 sixes. He was looking in brilliant form, and then he sort of skied one which was caught by the bowler. Malik, that final over, despite going for 2 sixes, took 3 wickets. He is, I think, one of the best death bowlers in associate cricket, and he showed it again today.
Yeah, it's two fascinating statistics on that. The first 10 overs are 28 dot balls, but 2 fours and 3 sixes, which was just way too many. They just weren't turning the strike over. But the last 20 balls went for 56 runs, and it could have gone horribly wrong for them. And some of these shots were a little bit adventurous, but it didn't. They put on 162, and Dalad Zadran was pretty tight early. The Netherlands started okay. Cooper was the one hand on. He looked really, really good early, but it's not a big ground, so he was hitting a couple of sixes. But after that, it really panicked us. I guess the best description of what the Netherlands did.
Yeah, I think, you know, as you say, once Cooper was out, and you know, before that, once Myberg was out, it was pretty much a procession. You know, there was no real significant partnership after the one between Swart and Cooper, and yeah, it was just panic, I think, from the Dutch batsmen. Some good bowling from Afghanistan, to be fair, but very poor batting from the Netherlands.
But some of that was Swart's run out, just lazy turn. When there was no way to a two there, and then Byron and Seela both being stumped. They really weren't playing the right shots because of the circumstances they were in. And at that point, they really only in 8-9 over. And obviously, with Afghanistan scoring a better part of 14 or 15 over the last few, it is possible to score quickly. It was really messy, lower order performance. And it's cost them because this is a really significant game in terms of who's in the top of the group.
Yeah, very much so. And another highlight in this match for me, so watching on TV, which you didn't get too much of being at the ground, was the antics of Mohammed Shahzad behind the stumps. You know, I think we've missed him in a strange sort of way. You know, the extravagant appeals and then the stumping of Seelah, where Seelah was basically walking off before Shahzad had even took the bales off, and Shahzad was basically daring him to try and make it back before he whipped the bales off. It was very amusing to watch. I think in general it was a thoroughly professional performance from a professional side by Afghanistan.
Yeah, the highlight for me at the tail end of the innings was the ball with Hamid Hassan bowled one in viciously. If he's going to keep doing that for the rest of the tournament, it's going to be really interesting to see how batsmen play in, because it moved a lot of foot.
Yeah, I think in terms of Hassan, the question always is, you know, how fit is he gonna be? Or will he be able to play every match in the tournament? Obviously, we saw Shapoza Zadran sit this game out. Are they perhaps going to alternate the two of them? And you know, we won't really see them together until perhaps the playoffs. But you know, if Hassan's going to bowl like that for the rest of the tournament, then it's going to be great.
Thanks, Andrew. I'll talk to you again very soon.
No worries.